Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. A lot of folks in our listening audience probably heard the president the other day talk about the idea that he wanted to slash regulations by at least 75%. 75%. And then he added afterwards, maybe even more. Well, there was an article written yesterday that was came out in the Daily Signal. And this article was written by, in fact, I said yesterday was the 24th, so 2 days ago. It was written by Diane Katz, K-A-T-Z, and she is one of the public policy, writes on public policy and so forth for the last couple of decades. She's a research fellow at the Regulatory Policy Wing of the Heritage Foundation. She wrote this: during the White House meeting with business leaders on Monday, President Donald Trump pledged to slash regulations by at least 75%. Activists were positively apoplectic, of course, and the media ridicule was swift. But exaggerated as this comment was, the larger point is incontroversial. She says the unparalleled expansion of the administrative state is crushing America's entrepreneurial spirit, its productivity, and its economic growth. And I thought that that was a great line right there. This expansion and this constant regulation of everything that we do in this life, you know, is actually crushing America under the weight of it. She goes on later on in the article to say independent estimates peg the cost of regulations at more than $2 trillion annually, more than is collected in income tax each year. In the past 8 years alone, the Obama administration has issued more than 22,700 rules, which increased annual regulatory costs by more than $120 billion. And that's a lowball estimate, she says in this article. Combined with the regulatory burdens imposed during the administration of George W. Bush, the annual cost of red tape has increased by at least $200 billion in the past 15 years. So this is a problem that is just out of control. There's no doubt about it. But what's the best way to deal with it? How should the president deal with this? You know, maybe that was hyperbole where he says that he's going to be able to eliminate 75% of it or even more. But if he does anything against these regulations, what's the best way to approach that? Well, our guest today, Phil Kirpin, who's the president of American Commitment, that's www.americancommitment.org. You can find out more about Phil and the types of things that he's writing about out there and so forth and the work that they do there at American Commitment. He says the way to go about doing some of these things is through regulations from the executive that are in need of scrutiny, the RAINS Act. That's what he's writing about on his website, columns that he's written and a book chapter on that subject, the RAINS Act, that this is really the best way to go about this. Well, let's talk about this on the program with Phil Kirpin himself. Phil, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Hey, great to be with you.
Phil, let's. I laid out the problem there a little bit, but why don't you develop that a little bit further? Is this really crushing the American entrepreneurial spirit, this idea of over-regulation and all these different areas? Is it really squelching the economy and not allowing it to grow the way that it needs to?
Yeah, I think it is, and we've been in a very slow growth recovery, and the Democrats like to point out that it's a very long recovery, and that's true, but it's been a very weak recovery. We've seen very little income growth, and we've seen very soft labor market, and just the overall economic growth has been about 2% through the Obama presidency. The post-World War II average is about 3.1, 3.2%, so we're way below the normal average, and you know, that equates to trillions and trillions of dollars of lost GDP over a number of years. And so we've got to get the economic growth rate back up, and one of the major problems, one of the major restraints holding back the U.S. economy has been this onslaught of regulation. And it's amazing to me, you know, basically every business person I talk to, small business, large business, medium size, what have you, you know, they all kind of say the same thing. They say, yeah, it would be great if we paid less in taxes. That'd be wonderful. We'll take up. But really, our biggest problem is such and such regulation. And depending on what industry it is, it's always a different thing. But everyone's got those couple of big regulations that are just a huge problem for them to comply with, either from a cost standpoint or just logistically being able to comply with sometimes very unrealistic requirements or a combination of the two. And so this is really basically every sector of the economy now has some very challenging regulations, and they've been piled on at a really unprecedented rate during Obama in particular. But also, as you mentioned, Bush was a very regulatory president as well. So we've had two presidencies in a row that have piled on an awful lot of new rules and regulations and so forth, and the Federal Register sort of ballooning out of control, although that may be changing now with President Trump and his promises to dramatically curtail regulation. And in fact, we are now in a regulatory freeze. The EPA today published the delay of 30 regulations to comply with President Trump's regulatory freeze. And so we're at a turning point, an inflection point, I think, right now, where we're going to be able to slow down and stop this sort of out-of-control piling up of regulations and be able to go back and remove some of the worst and most expensive and most counterproductive ones and, you know, make it easier for businesses to grow and add jobs and raise wages and get the economy moving again.
Mm-hmm. Phil, in what segments are the regulations most egregious right now? What segments of the economy?
Well, I think the EPA's probably been the worst offender in terms of just the sheer volume of rules and their sheer cost and complexity, and you know, that most directly affects things like the energy sector and manufacturing, but also the farm sector. Certainly, they've been very aggressive with their Waters of the United States rule, for instance, which you know, was fortunately stayed by a court, but would have a dramatically negative impact on the farming sector. A number of other rules coming out of there. So EPA is probably the worst offender in terms of the agencies that have been, you know, sort of hyper-aggressive, hyper-regulatory. But I also, we saw a very regulatory agenda from the FCC that dramatically decreased investment in internet infrastructure, which had really been one of the booming sectors until the last couple of years. We've seen a very aggressive Department of Labor that has sort of had an economy-wide negative impact, I would say. And you know, without exception, almost every aspect of the government has been very active in terms of regulation under Obama. And of course, everything related to Obamacare and the whole healthcare sector, and you know, that's spawned hundreds and hundreds of rulemakings and all sorts of regulations. And the Dodd-Frank law, which was a vast grant of regulatory power to the SEC and the CFTC, and then created a brand new CFPB, and so the financial sector has been very heavily regulated. And all of that, you know, ironically, those rules have all been relatively easy for the big Wall Street banks that were at the heart of the financial crisis to comply with, because they've got huge compliance departments and all kinds of lawyers and accountants and so forth. But they've really destroyed community banking in much of the country, and the number of community banks has really collapsed as a consequence of those regulations. So one of the things that we often see is, you know, the big guys will do something bad, and the government will say, okay, we need regulations to crack down, but the big guys are the ones who aren't harmed by it, and they're smaller competitors that can't afford to have, you know, full-time compliance officers and so forth. They end up getting hit the hardest. And so it's hard to isolate just one area, because we really have seen this problem across the whole economy. And as I said, you know, everyone kind of thinks my industry is dealing with this huge regulatory problem, and they're right. But what they don't necessarily realize is that every industry, it seems, has those one or two or three big regulatory issues that they've been struggling with under Obama, just because the administration has been doing this through all the agencies to all the industries in various different ways.
It seems that this reining in of the regulations is going to have a pretty broad ripple effect throughout the rest of the economy through small businesses, right?
Well, I certainly hope so, and it's certainly one of the most immediate high-impact things that a new administration can do is change the direction on regulation and on executive branch policies. It's much harder, of course, to get new legislation passed in Congress, and you know most presidents only get a couple of big pieces of legislation passed in the whole presidency because there's always so much gridlock in Congress, and that's why it's become so attractive for presidents to do what President Bush and President Obama have done and sort of, you know, pursue their policies through regulation. But what happens is you create this huge pile of complex rules and this huge burden on the economy. And you know, I think what we've got now, what I hope we've got now, is a president who's going to spend most of his time and energy on eliminating regulations and freeing up the private sector as opposed to piling on even more.
Mm-hmm. You know, for most of the people in our listening audience, when you talk about regulating these large companies or entire segments of the economy and so forth, they may not be able to relate. I think they understand that that's taking place. But let me give just a quick anecdote about something that happened to me much closer to home here, just to let people know just how, you know, at a very low level, this can get out of hand. My daughter's a professional photographer, takes pictures at Easter time, a lot of times with bunnies, rabbits. So the kids will take the picture holding a rabbit and so forth. She got a call one day from one of the government officials here locally in South Carolina, from Columbia. And they said, you know, do you use rabbits in your picture taking? And she said, yes, I do. And they said, well, do you have a permit to do that? And she was like, no. And so they ended up sending a 150-page document that talked about, you know, that why you have, you know, what you have to do with the rabbits and so forth. And afterwards, the woman, Columbia is 100 miles away from here, was needed to drive to see where the rabbits were being kept, you know, and so that the rabbits could be able to be used during this process. And so she said, if you use chickens, it was not a problem, but if you use a rabbit, it was going to be a huge issue. And I think, you know, people see stuff like this and they're just like, you got to be kidding me, you know, just a small business trying to make a little bit of money, and this is not a major part of her business, whether or not she takes it with a rabbit or a chicken or whatever they wanted to use. It didn't really matter, but I think people see that, right? I mean, on this over-regulation on just minor things.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And there's so many of these rules. There are just so many of them that nobody really has a handle on all of them until they accidentally get crosswise with one and they get some call from somewhere. And it's just you know, and you mentioned that we have tax time coming up. You know, the tax rules are the biggest source of regulatory compliance costs because they are so complex and voluminous,
yes,
and nobody understands them. And even the tax preparers themselves don't really understand all the rules and regulations and so forth. So the tax reform, if we finally get that in Congress, can actually have a big impact, not just on the amount of tax that we pay, but also on the regulatory burden as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the compliance is just figuring out what you owe before you can pay it.
Yeah, and just to end to that story, my daughter asked her, you know, how did you find me? You know, how did you know that I was, you know, using rabbits and, you know, horrors of horrors, using rabbits in these photographs? And she said that they were poring over websites and looking for photographers that were used. Now you got these regulators up in Columbia, you know, looking at a photographer's website to see, oh, no, could they possibly be using a rabbit in a photograph? I don't know who they were protecting, the rabbit, the people from the rabbit. I have no idea. But it was obviously outrageous. Phil, you advocate then that the way the president should go about fixing this. Now, he's been doing a lot with executive order, at least to get the thing rolling, I guess. But you say that the way to do this is through the RAINS Act. Talk to us about what that is and why that's advantageous to approach it that way.
Well, this is a bill. There's actually a great story behind how this bill came about that I can get into if you'd like. But this is a bill that it's very simple. This is a bill that would say for any new regulation that has any significant impact on the economy, the agency, whether it's the HHS or IRS or FDA or EPA or whatever, they couldn't just impose it directly anymore and have it take effect and have the force of law. Instead, they would have to send it as a proposal to Congress, and it would have to be approved by our elected officials in the House and Senate and signed by the president or subject to a veto override before it could take effect. So in other words, for the economically significant regulations, the major economic policies for the country, they would have to actually go through the constitutional lawmaking process that we learned in school, how a bill becomes a law, before they could take effect, instead of these agencies just being able to impose rules directly. And I think that would dramatically curtail the number of sort of bad, misguided, indefensible rules that we end up with on the books. Congress, of course, is more than capable of doing dumb things, so they would still approve some rules that are bad ideas. But even then, we'd be able to look up the vote and know who's responsible and hold them accountable come election time or donate to their opponents. And we'd have all of those checks and balances and accountability mechanisms that we really don't have when the bureaucrats and regulators are empowered to impose rules directly. And so that's a major change that we've been supporting for a number of years, and we're very happy the House of Representatives passed it this year, their very first week in session. They've made clear that it's a priority, and this is something that President Trump said on the campaign trail that he would not only sign, but he would urge Congress to pass and work very hard to get them to pass. So President Obama said he would veto this. President Trump says that he would sign it. I think that's a big change. We're hoping that we can get it to move in the Senate. And even better than the bill that I just described, the House actually passed an amendment to the bill written by Steve King from Iowa before they passed it a couple of weeks ago. And the amendment, the King Amendment, requires that every existing federal regulation be subject to a vote in Congress and would be removed from the books if it's not approved, and that would be a 10-year process. They'd vote on 10% of all existing regulations per year until they'd gotten through all of them, and the only ones that would stay in effect would be the ones that were actually approved by Congress. So I think that this bill was significantly improved by that amendment. It would now not just address new regulations, but old ones as well, and we would be able to just get rid of the regulations that don't command support in Congress and have accountability for the ones that remain. So I'm very excited about this idea, and we're going to be pushing very hard to try to get action in the Senate on it.
I see in your article it says here that the RAINS Act was first sponsored, first Senate sponsor was Jim DeMint. Of course, Jim DeMint is from right here in this area, was the congressman and senator from right here in the upstate of South Carolina. I just saw him recently. Our grandchildren go to the same school together. And I have one quick story with Jim DeMint. I saw him. I was taking a load of stuff from my yard to the local recycle center. So I had backed in there and was unloading my trailer, and I see a fella backing in with his trailer, and on the back he had a Jim DeMint sticker on the car. And so I thought I would end up striking up a conversation with him. I like Jim DeMint. And so I backed up, and it was the senator himself. He was unloading a bunch of boxes. He was actually on the phone. I think he was on an interview at that moment, but I offered to help him chuck some of the boxes in there. And I think the boxes had a lot of these regulations in it that you were talking about. I'm not sure, but it seemed that they were those types of things that he was chucking in there. But the article that I started the program with was from somebody from the Heritage Foundation, where, of course, Jim DeMint is now the president there and so forth. So was he obviously a big part of this in the very beginning, right?
Yeah, he was the original Senate co-sponsor of this bill in 2010 before he retired and moved over to Heritage. And he's stayed very involved in this, and they've got a lot of very good people at Heritage working on regulatory reform issues, including Diane Katz, who you mentioned in your opening there. And this is a bill that he strongly believes in. And in fact, you know, I think you mentioned that I had a whole chapter on this in my book a few years ago.
Yep.
Jim DeMint endorsed the book, so that was great. And so he's been working with for a long time on this idea. He understands how broken the regulatory system is, and that, you know, forcing Congress into the decision loop would dramatically improve the whole process. And I would also point out, you know, it's not just that I want Congress to vote on all these regulations because they're going to vote no on some of them, and we won't have as many if we force Congress to vote on them. It's also that I think that one of the reasons we've got such a broken regulatory system in this country is that Congress has really abdicated its responsibility to write the laws. And what they've started to do, and it's gotten worse and worse over time, is they write these sort of broad, vague laws that don't have any details or specificity because they don't do the work of developing the expertise to write with precision what they actually want. They just write broad, vague laws, and they say, hey, you know, like in Obamacare, HHS and IRS, you guys figure it all out. They write secretary shall, secretary may, over and over and over again. And what they've discovered is they can claim political credit for all of their wonderful good intentions, and then when all the specifics actually get written, if things don't work very well, they can blame the regulators, blame the bureaucrats, say it wasn't my fault. And we've got to get Congress back to actually doing the job of legislating and taking responsibility, figuring things out, developing expertise, hiring the right staff, and writing laws that are specific in their effect. And I think that if they knew that all the regulations would have to come back to them, they would write much, much better laws on the front end as well. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, would dramatically improve the whole process of governing in Washington, not just on the regulatory side, but in terms of the quality of legislation as well and the demands that we put on our legislators to actually do the job instead of just sort of writing these broad, vague laws that let the bureaucrats and regulators fill in all the details. And so DeMint has been a great partner on this effort since, you know, we've been working on this bill now for about 7 or 8 years. And when he retired, he handed it off to Rand Paul, who's been the Senate sponsor since then. And the original House sponsor was a guy named Jeff Davis from Kentucky. He's also since retired. And so, you know, this is not an overnight thing. We've been working on getting this bill passed here through a number of different partners on the Hill, a number of different allies, and you know, this is actually the fourth time that it passed the House, but we've still never got a vote in the Senate, and so I'm hoping that this will finally be the Congress we get that vote in the Senate. I'm hoping we can actually get it passed and signed by the President, but if we fall short in the Senate, I hope we'll at least have a vote so that we can go to come election time and tell people, look, your senator is asking to be reelected but doesn't even want to vote on the regulations that govern this country, and so, you know, maybe we ought to replace him with somebody who's willing to do that. And if this takes another couple of years to get done, that's fine. It's worth the effort. You know, one of the things that I admire about our liberal opponents on the left is they stay at it. You know, they were trying to get government to take over health care for nearly 100 years before they accomplished that. And so if it takes us 10 or 12 to get this one done, I think it'll be worth it to finally fix the regulatory process.
Now, candidate Trump said that he would sign this if it came to his desk and that he would try to help push the bill through. You think that's going to happen now with a President Trump?
Yeah, I'm optimistic that it will. You know, a lot of people have kind of said, you know, well, once he becomes president, he'll realize that sending, you know, regulations up to Congress to vote on would diminish presidential power, so he's going to reverse his position on this. But I don't think that's what will happen, actually. I think he's going to have plenty of time here in his first year to reverse all of the worst and most outrageous regulations coming out of Obama and, you know, Bush and even before that. And I think he's going to understand how important it is to fix the process going forward. And I think he's someone who sees the value in working with Congress and building consensus and cutting deals. I don't think that he necessarily is scared to do that, is scared to vote and win with the public and so forth. And so, you know, he hasn't said anything about it since he's been president. He's been pretty busy here this first week, so I don't expect him necessarily to weigh in on this right away. But I'm pretty optimistic that he's not going to change his position on this.
Well, I know that he's probably tuned into the Knowing the Truth radio program right now. I don't think he's busy doing anything else, so we just put a bug in his ear. Phil, thank you so much for joining us once again to talk about these issues. We really appreciate your staying with this, like you were talking about, over these years. I think it's a very important thing. The accountability factor of it is what I like. You know, somebody would be accountable rather than these unelected bureaucrats that are doing everything. And I would love to see, you know, the rabbits not regulated so heavily on a local level and so forth too. So I think it'll have a great boom effect throughout the rest of the economy. So thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
Okay, that was Phil Kirpin, and we were talking about the RAINS Act. He writes about it out on his website. He's the president of the American Commitment, or American Commitment, and the article is entitled, "It's Time to Rein in the Regulators." That's www.americancommitment.org. And again, his name is Phil Kirpin. He's the president of that organization. You can read the entire article there. And then the other article that I started with was an article that was written by Diane Katz. That one appeared out at the Daily Signal. And she's talking about there about Trump slashing those regulations as well.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.